from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Happy, happy Friday to all of you. It is our Fresh Friday show minus G Scott today because he is taking a well-deserved day off. Felix Bunnell is my co-host this morning. How's it going, Felix?
It's going great, Ursula. One more hour of this big show.
I know. And you know what makes me so happy? It is sunny. It is Friday. I always say when it's sunny like this in the middle of May, this is one of those Chamber of Commerce picture-perfect days.
Everything's so green. Oh, there's a nice breeze. It's maybe going to be, what, 72, something like that today? It's just perfect. If it was like this year-round, it'd be boring, but it'd be perfect.
Well, we would have, like, overpopulation issues. That's what it would be. Okay, still ahead, coming up at 11:33. If you missed our conversation with our friend and colleague, Chris Sullivan, you have to tune in at 11:33. He shared what has been going on in his life the past 2 weeks. He has been fighting COVID, and he gets real raw and real honest. And I think it's just an important story to share. So please tune in coming up at 11:33. But right now, this is our time when we pull out the pillows. We do agree to disagree. This time with Felix. Felix, I'm feeling very feisty today.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to warn you. Our agree to disagree brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Okay, guys. Yesterday, that was the day we were all waiting for, the big news from Governor Inslee that, yes, Washington State will fully reopen for business June 30th, if not sooner. Ursula, I got to ask you, are you more excited or apprehensive at this point?
I am more excited. Absolutely. This is what we have been waiting for. Does it mean that I am going to just never wear a mask again and go everywhere and just, you know, throw all caution to the wind? No, but this is something that we have been waiting for. We were starting to get really irritated with the governor because there was no roadmap out. So I think he did exactly what he needed to do. Maybe took a little bit long, but now we're here. And it just means that we're going to have a summer again. The things that we have not been able to do, like live concerts or go to the swimming pool or whatever it is that you enjoy about summertime, we can go back to that. And it just means we've made progress. So I'm excited.
And me, I am a little more apprehensive because it's been, you know, again, from a place of privilege, it's been a pretty, not a bad thing for me personally, because I've been working from home for years. I used to come and do my part-time stuff at the station. I don't live that far from the station. I've been doing anything, you know, remotely. It's been super easy. My wife's working from home. She's here. My daughter's been home from college for most of the past year. It's sort of a, I think I'm going to look back on this time as kind of a sweet little time where as a family, we got to spend a lot of time together that ordinarily wouldn't have been able to spend together. And plus, it's been sort of, the lockdown is sort of a, it's safe feeling in a way. And maybe I'm just a big ninny. I mean, that's what it is, but it's like.
Looking at our Facebook page, and we've asked you to share your feelings about it on our G and Ursula Show Facebook page. There are a lot of people who are feeling the way you are, too. And then there are others who are feeling like me, like, oh, my gosh, been waiting for this.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's, I mean, I know it's going to turn out okay, but I'm going to miss just the sense of everybody being home. It kind of feels like the 19th century. Everybody's just home. Like you can kind of live above the store. You know, you're sort of, you're not like a farmer or something, but everybody's doing their work in the house. And there isn't this, the world's very small, but it also just feels really special in a way. And again, I'm privileged. I haven't had to go outside the home to do much work at all in the last year. It's all been remote, and that's awesome. But my daughter got sick a couple months ago, and she came home and recovered from COVID and had to, you know, give up a semester of college. And so it hasn't been without its scary times, but it's sort of, it just feels a little safe, I guess. It is going to feel kind of strange to be sort of out, like that Stockholm syndrome kind of thing.
Well, here's the other thing for me. I have been so worried about these small business owners. And
Yeah.
The weird thing is, since the beginning of the pandemic, I have probably spent more money than I ever have because I have been trying to support, you know, whether it's, you know, this woman I love who owns the flower and pie shop, Janelle, over in Milton, or the neighborhood businesses. We do takeout all the time, and it's not helping me, like, health-wise because we're doing so much takeout, et cetera. But we've been, like, trying to help support these businesses, and I'm just glad that they're going to have a chance and, like, they see a way out. So that part is good. But in all honesty, I've also lost so much in terms of the little time I have left with my dad. He's still in that assisted living facility. We still have to, they still have to take a lot of precautions. And so I'm hoping that it means now I can have indoor visits with him and, you know, maybe have more than 1 hour at a time. So
can I say one more thing before we wrap up this? We have a neighbor whose kid is graduating from a local high school, and they have one of those signs in their yard that says, you know, Roosevelt graduate 2021. And it makes me so sad to think the kids have missed out on simple stuff I took for granted, like walking in a stupid high school graduation. And to think that, I mean, it's nice that they're kind of making up for it by putting up these little signs in kids' yards and kind of trying to find some virtual way to celebrate. But all that basic stuff that especially people aged like 15 to 25 have missed out on makes me really sad. So I'm just being an old, grumpy, introverted, asocial ninny.
Well, the first step to progress, what is acceptance or whatever, admission?
Well, I didn't say accept it, but I mean, that's what I am. Yeah.
Well, yeah. The other thing, too, is that, and we didn't emphasize that enough, that's huge, too. The kids are going to be going back to school. That really is one of the biggest changes.
And I'd be so bummed out if I was a kid right now. I wouldn't want to go back to school.
You might think differently if you've been locked in your house for a year, so to speak.
I don't know.
Speaking of taking off the chains, go ahead and take off your mask. If you've been vaccinated, that is the message from the CDC, the new message. Whether you are indoors or outdoors, we just talked to Mike Lewis about this, and we talked to Chris Sullivan, who, you know, just got COVID 2 weeks ago. Ursula, do you think that is helpful guidance at this point in the pandemic from the CDC, or is it kind of mixed messaging?
I think for some people it's going to be confusing, but I think that they are recognizing that you have to give people some incentives. What's the incentive to get the vaccine? And really, I think that's the biggest thing right now, is to encourage people to get the vaccine. And what is one of the incentives would be, hey, if you get the vaccine, you don't have to wear this annoying mask. For so many people, it's been such a big issue. For me now, it does get annoying, but I also love the fact that I didn't get sick this whole last year. And whenever I see that there's a big crowd of people, I'm not going to have any shame in putting my mask back on. I'm going to be okay with that. And I hope just people don't give me a bad time about it. I'm not going to give someone else a bad time, whatever they decide to choose. But it may be confusing, but I think they're doing it because you want to have more incentive to get the vaccine.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And what I hope comes away from this is this notion that, like, in the future, when you have a cold or the flu or something, and you have to go out because no one else is going to get your chicken soup for you, whatever, that people will wear a mask to not make other people infected with you know, less serious illnesses. Because that would be a huge takeaway, huge legacy of the whole mask issue the last year or so, is smart use of masks going forward. That would be awesome. That'd be worth all the trouble,
Chef. What's your feeling? Is it just more confusing?
I think it's harmful, actually, at this point. I think it gives people an incentive to lie. I think this is actually the biggest disincentive to getting people vaccinated, because unless we actually have vaccine passports, unless places are actually checking your vaccine card when you walk in the door, you know, there are some places that are doing it, like stadiums. What's the incentive for anyone to go out and get a vaccine now if you've been hesitant? Because all you have to do is just say, I've been vaccinated. I'm fine. I don't need a mask. I can come in. And let's be honest, who's really going to have the temerity to ask someone, to look at them and say, hey, you know what? You look like a vaccine denier. Have you been vaccinated? Nobody's going to be asking that question, and no one will answer it honestly. So I think it's probably not going to be a big deal here, like in Western Washington, where we are having very high vaccine adoption rates. But in states where you're not going to get more than 50% of people vaccinated, it feels to me like the CDC throwing in the towel on masks. And it feels like they've basically de facto lifted mask mandates across the country, even if there are, you know, individual states that will keep them in place or businesses that decide they want to move forward, everyone is going to look and say, well, the CDC says it's fine. I feel like they've created more conflict before we're out of the pandemic.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I could see that point, too. But again, I will go to no one's going to stop you from wearing a mask. No one's going to stop a business. I mean, the CDC has made it clear. I think the governor said it, too. A business can decide, you know what, this may be the guidance from the CDC, but I'm going to go a different route. That's the choice I make.
All right. Well, I think it might be a disincentive, but there are incentives, better ones, of course, than beer and a free Dick's cheeseburger. We talked about this yesterday. The state of Ohio giving away $1 million to vaccinated adults. You have a chance, at least, to be entered in that pool if you've gotten your shots. So, Felix, should Governor Inslee do this here? Push us over the finish line. Try and get some incentive to folks who are just been sitting on the fence.
And if I didn't love the Pacific Northwest, I would have moved to Ohio last week to take advantage of this. No, I love the idea of $1 million. I think that's a great incentive. I mean, I'd enter it. I mean, I'm already vaccinated, so I'd enter the contest if they had one here in Washington. So I think they should do it, because I would say there are probably double-digit percentage number of people in the state who would decide to get vaccinated because there was $1 million on the line. I would say at least 10-15% of the state, or maybe 20% of those unwilling to get vaccinated, would be convinced by this to do so.
No. At this juncture, we're already, what, close to 60% with at least one of the shots in the state of Washington. People are already going to do it. I think you can nudge it even closer to that 70% mark by giving people good information and educating people and sharing stories. Sharing stories
no,
like the one.
Come on.
No.
What about giving free license tabs or free ammo for their automatic weapons?
No. No, because then when does it stop? I mean, as much as I think it worked for Ohio and Mike DeWine, who is a Republican who came up with that, and, you know, many Republicans don't like what he did, but hey, I see why it would work in Ohio. I don't know that it's necessary here in the state of Washington. If you're going to be spending $5 million, there are other things like, you know, making up the difference for the people who have really lost so much during the shutdown. So,
well, they'd be like stimulus checks. It'd be like really big stimulus checks to five people.
Nope.
Ursula, what is the downside to this? You know, I mean, there are a lot of people who've done the right thing over the last year. You know, they've socially distanced, they've stayed away from friends and family, they've worn the mask, they went out and got the vaccine. What has their reward been aside from not getting COVID? How about
well, that's a big reward, by the way.
Well, you know what? Some people like money too. What about just as a reward for doing the right thing?
I'm just saying that the only people who will likely still jump on that would be the people who would be either on the fence. You're not going to turn the people, the 30% who say, no way, not going to happen.
It's what about not a gift basket of applets and cotlets?
Definitely. Okay, definitely
nice
not.
Okay, so let's talk a little summer travel on our Washington State ferry system. The state ferry Wenatchee suffered an engine fire last month. It's going to be months before they can fix it. That means with only 16 of 18 ferries normally available for summer travel, even longer wait times. And, you know, let's be frank, it's a couple hours, 2-3 hours on a lot of those peak summer travel days. Felix, should we just bite the bullet and actually build a tunnel to the peninsula instead of relying on this aging ferry fleet that breaks down every single year?
I mean, they looked at that back in the 1940s and the 1950s, and one of the ideas, they wanted to have a concrete tube submerged 50 feet below the water so it wouldn't interfere with ships, and cars would just get on one side and drive across the Sound. I would guess at some point in the future, there will be a tunnel or a bridge across Puget Sound. So why not build it now when it's a million times cheaper than it will be 200 years from now? How's that for twisted thinking about infrastructure? Build, like, really get out there. I mean, if we're really going to build back better, if there's trillions of dollars available, now's the time to go for the real blue sky, you know, grand slam projects. And I'd say
right
yes.
Right now, in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, get the line up the money. I mean, get the money lined up and start building it. And then, you know, you can always fix the West Seattle Bridge too at some point. But at least get that get on the map of like, let's get a big bridge or a tunnel built to connect the peninsula to the mainland, so it's even easier to get over there to enjoy all those wonderful things.
Okay,
like Port Townsend and Clearlock, and
you know who's like rolling their eyes? Everyone who lives on the peninsula. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they don't want more people.
Do you really
coming over
think
and buying
that
their
that's
stuff.
What they want? Just to have it even more overgrown, so build a tunnel over there? No, how about you fix the potholes on I-5 on the Ship Canal Bridge?
Just slow down. Those are speed bumps.
But by the way, if you're going to be taking the ferry, and this is going to be that week, you know, one of those weekends where it's just going to be long waits, right? However, enjoy it.
Yeah, it's
that
fun.
Is one of the biggest bang for your buck kind of tourist or just for self-enjoyment to take a ferry ride on a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And even if it's, you know, that's like one of the best $20 spent. And if you have to wait a while, that's fine.
Yeah. And when you get to the place where you know you're going to, your car's parked, you're going to be waiting for, you know, 30, 40 minutes, that's when you can sort of, you can lock the car, walk, go get a cup of coffee or something, come back. That's that. That's a really fun way to kill time, whether it's in Edmonds or other side in Kingston or whatever. There's all sorts of cool stuff to see. You buy a newspaper from one of the people walking along selling newspapers.
Yes.
It's a classic Pacific Northwest summer.
Yes. Yes.
Ursula, are you trying to cast like a 2 to 3 hour ferry wait as some sort of like beautiful, nostalgic, enjoyable experience? I mean,
well, it's all
been a while, but did you ever do that with toddlers?
It's
terrible. It's absolutely terrible. When are we getting on the boat? Let's go get ice cream, because they know there's ice cream in Kingston.
Yeah.
I can't get away from it.
Yes, and that's where you come up with those toys and games, etc. But you will miss those days. You will miss those days when your kids are grown. Those days when you had to deal with the screaming toddlers and when we get there and all that. So enjoy it now.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of travel, gas prices are not going down anytime soon. Gas in Seattle is sitting between about $3.80 and $3.90 a gallon. The gas prices here, by the way, are not related to that Colonial Pipeline attack, so it's not going to get better as soon as that's fixed. Felix, can gas ever get too expensive to where, you know, you're ditching the ride and just taking transit?
No, never. You know, I don't even look at the price of gas. I go to one gas station I know is always cheaper than the other ones. I know the price varies. I never even look. I just fill it up. I love driving. I know I'm a dinosaur. I know that what I do is destructive. But I think in the last 2 years, I bought a used car almost exactly 2 years ago. I put 36,000 miles on it. I drive around the state giving history talks and stuff. We drove back and forth to Boston and stuff. There's nothing more American in good and bad ways than just getting in your car and being able to drive from point A to point B, knowing I have the freedom to drive to Florida right now if I wanted to. That's a good feeling. And yeah, gas is expensive, and it's, but you know, you pay the gas tax, helps support building more roads and maintaining the roads.
Are
we
you?
Have.
Wait, where are you from?
I'm from here. I love that 20th century ideal of drive. I've been doing big long drives and short drives since I was 16 years old. I just love that. It's
just feeling
it's
like
kind of, it's
you're
mythological.
An introvert.
It's like a myth.
You said you're an
it's
introvert, like, and you like to just feel like you have no one holding you back. You just go out on the open road and you do around the map. That's what you call your feature.
All over the map.
Okay, so you literally are going all over the map.
I love it. I love all the unique places around here you can visit that most people don't care about. This is little wide spots in the road you can't get to by mass transit. I guess you could ride your bike if you were in better shape and wanted to ride 100 miles or whatever. But there's something, I know it's myth, I know it's destructive, and it's like, you know, terrible for the environment, but that 20th century ideal of just hitting the road, that's just, I'm totally sold on that. It'll be good when people like me die off, and then we can save the planet and, you know, stop all the global warming.
Okay, can I just
I'm guilty
can I just say
charged.
Yesterday, we're out of time, but yesterday, I filled up my tank. The gas is almost $4 a gallon. Excuse me?
You know, what a great price.
That's
what
too
freedom
much.
You get, the freedom
I'm
you
getting
get
close
for that,
to, yeah, I might be staying home a little more often. Okay, still ahead. Like we said, if you missed our conversation with Chris Sullivan at 9:30. We're going to play parts of it and want you to hear his story. It's really important. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much. much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. G is off today. He will be back on Monday. Felix Bunnell has been filling in with me this morning. And every single day, I got to tell you, since probably the start of the show, we get at least one or two emails or text messages. Do you have to always talk about COVID? We're sick of hearing about it. We're sick of it. Can you talk about something else? We get it. We want to be able to talk about other things. And certainly yesterday's announcement by the governor that the state is going to be reopening June 30th, that's just one giant step toward hopefully us not having to talk about it so much. But the reality is there are still people who are getting sick, very, very sick. And one of them is our own friend and colleague, Chris Sullivan. And we had asked him to join us at 9:30 this morning to share his experience. And here are excerpts of that interview.
Thing, and here's what I want people to kind of understand. And, you know, it's hard to report this, even though we've been doing this for more than a year. You know, when we talk about symptoms and we talk about things, it's very generic. And what I want people to understand is what I experienced, and whether it's different from the norm or par for the course or what, this is something that's possible. This thing attacked me in relentless waves. It wasn't just one set of symptoms. It was, first, it kind of gave me the sinus kind of stuff when it started. Those first couple days when I, you know, came back to work, I didn't think I was in bad shape. And then when I tested positive on that Thursday 2 weeks ago, that's when, I mean, the door just slammed. It went from coughing and breathing to the worst sore throat I think I've ever had in my life. But as soon as my body started attacking and getting after it, COVID went somewhere else. It's like, oh yeah, you think you got it? I don't know. Let's have diarrhea and throwing up for two straight days. You know what? And while you, you think you got that handled? You know what? Maybe now we'll hit you with 102 degree temperature. You know, it didn't all come at once. It came in waves and it was relentless. And it was almost like it was like, oh, let's see if your immune system can handle this. Oh, it did? Great. Well, you know what? Let me slam you with the worst headache you've ever had. Oh, and by the way, you want to eat? Good luck. Let's get rid of any appetite. I didn't eat for 10 days. I went to the hospital three times, two just to get fluids. The third time, my doctor was at him. He's like, Chris, we got to admit you. We got to admit you. I'm like, okay. But then I got to the hospital, third time, same one. And, you know, that's just not how it works. Your doctor can want to admit you all you want. But if you don't meet the criteria, you're not getting a bed. And that's fine. I get it. I had just enough positive oxygenation at in my extremities and good enough breathing that, I wasn't eligible to go in. So I went in last Friday thinking I was going to be admitted, packed a bag, the whole deal. And then, no, even though my doctor wanted me to, the admitting doctor was like, listen, Chris, you're not as bad as you think. I'm like, really? This kind of sucks. And you're thinking I've got moderate symptoms? Dear God. I mean, and then the fever, the stomach. I mean, it hit everything. I had everything. I mean, and then came the days where my chest kind of, you know, I have liquid in my lungs. I mean, they took several chest x-rays. Not bad, thank God, but enough to do that. And then came from all the throwing up and the dry heaving and all of that stuff, my throat was basically full of dried blood. It still is. I mean, I was coughing up bloody phlegm, basically jellyfish the size of dollar coins. I mean, I was sitting there one time, I was holding one, and Holly was looking at me like I was an incredibly disgusting, like, 7-year-old boy. And I'm just looking at this thing, I'm like, this thing came out of me. What the hell? Man. You know?
Well, as Chris always does, Felix, you know this, he always wants to make us laugh. But he also admitted that there was a point in this 2 weeks that he didn't know if he would live to share his story.
There were times I thought I was going to die. I mean, that's first and foremost. There were times last weekend I was like, am I going to get out of this? And I know, you know, my symptoms are what they are, that, you know, I'm starting to worry about, okay, am I a long hauler? Do I know what will we know? I mean, I'm only a couple days really kind of not being contagious out of this, where I'm, drinking like protein shakes and eating little bits of cereal. I had a solid bowel movement yesterday for the first time in 2.5 weeks. I got out of the bathroom and I just dropped the F-bomb at Holly and slammed the door. And she's like, what? I'm like, I just took a blank. I mean, that's just the little things. I mean,
radio, folks, right there. That's just, the magic radio.
It is. It's the reality of it, Felix, man.
I love your sense of humor, Chris. That's why I love you so much. You got this. I'm not worried about you anymore. This was going on. No, but I'm not. You're going to get through this. I can tell. It's your spirit's there, and that's the most important thing, right?
Well, we got a flight for Tommy tomorrow. To have him come home. He was sleeping on the floor of a friend because we weren't be able to get him out of his dorm in Bozeman because we were gone for this. He's been a trooper, and so he'll be able to come home for a couple days before he heads right back out to football here at the end of the month. But, so it'll be good for my soul to see him again. And, it's just
everyone who's listening right now, please go on to our G and Ursula Show Facebook page. We've posted a picture of Sully because you were very open about it. You've lost
a
bunch of weight.
That's a great shot, isn't it?
People
are like, hey, you look great. I'm like, are you kidding me? There used to be muscle on that frame. I don't know what I look like.
Has a look of concern.
I look like Abraham Lincoln. That's how gaunt I am. Holly's like, your eyes are sunk into your face.
Okay, and just one thing real quick, because we are so way over time right now, but we really wanted to hear from you. No, it's so awesome to hear from you. With us reopening on the 30th of June and, all the big announcements happening, what is your one thing that you want people listening right now to know?
Just be careful if you haven't had it. If you're getting your vaccine, you're doing your thing, that's great. We hadn't gotten our vaccines yet because of some adverse reactions I had had to some vaccines recently, the shingles one in particular. And so we were waiting until our travel was done. Be smart. Try not to fall into the peer pressure kind of like we did in Idaho and Montana. If you feel comfortable wearing a mask, but everyone else isn't, wear your mask. Get a vaccine if you didn't think about it. But this thing's the real deal. This isn't a cough. This is a flu. This thing will reach up and will attack every part of your body. And when my doctor said this was probably mild, I mean, there are people out there in much worse shape than me, and there are people that are still dying. And, I don't think we took any dumb risks, but, even if you're the holier than thou, you were stupid.
It can happen.
It can happen to anybody. It just takes one little wrong little circumstance or something. Get your vaccine. Love your family. Tell them that. Because this thing can go away pretty quickly. And make sure the people in your life that you love know that you love them. Because it can go pretty quick. I'm just glad that I'm here to talk to you guys. And
we love you, Chris. And we are praying for your full recovery. Please join us in wishing him well. Go onto our Facebook page. We've posted a picture. He's just being open and honest and sharing his story. And for that, we appreciate him so much. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. We'll do We Hear Ya and, of course, Words to Live By coming up next. To the G and Ursula Show. It has been a great week. Thank you so much to all of you who listen every single day from 9 to noon. We could not do this show without you. It is our Words to Live By segment, which is going to come up in just a minute. I was about to jump the gun here.
That eager to get
goodness.
Rid of me.
No. Felix, it has been fun. I got to tell you, it's a little bit different juggling with different people, everyone being gone. Anyway, this is our time to share your words is what I really meant to say in our We Hear You segment, all the texts and emails that you've sent us throughout the show. And you want to start off, Felix?
Yeah, this is about should we build a bridge to the Olympic Peninsula? And 360 says, heck no. First of all, part of the charm of the peninsula is that it's isolated. Can you imagine if there was a bridge? All of a sudden, Bremerton gets as big as Tacoma, and Kingston becomes Everett. Oh, and Felix, build it now instead of 200 years from now? It will take 200 years to build.
So true. So true. Okay, should our state enter vaccine recipients in a $1 million lottery just like Ohio did? 425 says, my partner is not going to get vaccinated and is not an anti-vaxxer or red party. He would definitely get vaccinated, though, for a chance at a million.
And 360 says, absolutely not. No lottery here in Washington. We all know what would happen. We'd find out the five winners all live in Nigeria.
Okay, reaction to Governor Inslee's announcement. This is from Chris on Facebook. We hear you, Chris. I'm looking forward to the reopening. I'm also looking forward to less pandemic-related topics on talk radio. It really wants me to change the station. But, Chris, I know that you don't, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, and on the reaction to the CDC's updated guidelines on masks for vaccinated people, 425 says, I am apprehensive about the vaccine, but this new non-masking is going to make me want to get the vaccine because I felt protected up until now. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Hippie Mike in the 509 says, I'm fully vaccinated. I'm definitely looking forward to not having to wear a mask all the time. Although, since I do work in the hospitality industry, I think it sets a good example to keep wearing them until we're absolutely out of this. Let's not take any chances.
Yeah, and then Sue says, on the other hand, I'm so thankful, but still concerned for those working where masks are still going to be required and the pushback they'll likely get from their customers. My son works at a bakery, and personally, I'm happy they'll keep their mask mandate in the shop, but I know he'll get angry people who don't want to wear a mask. Sigh.
425 has a great question. Are grocery stores like QFC and Safeway going to be okay with people coming in without masks? I'm nervous to go shopping, even though I have been vaccinated, but I don't know if stores are going to be okay with this or not.
And then Shotzi says, I own a flower shop, and this has been a strange blessing for my industry. I will continue to insist on masks inside my shop. This isn't over.
Sue says, on the one hand, I'm so thankful, but I'm still concerned for those working where masks are still going to be required and the pushback they're likely going to get from their customers. Oh, wait, you already said that one.
Yep. Sue only wrote in once.
Scott, I know, right? I was like, wait a minute. Scott says, this puts a ton of pressure onto employees. It's going to be awful. I'm thinking about just changing my business rules to make masks optional. Because how do I regulate it? I can't.
And Michael Medved, 253, says, Michael is so one-sided on the Israel-Palestine situation. People in Gaza are basically living in an open-air prison under state-sanctioned apartheid. I don't condone violence of any kind, but to act like Israel is the aggrieved party in this conflict is shameful. We cover the waterfront on this show. We cover topics from low high all over the place.
Yeah, we do. And I got to say, I do love having Michael Medved on here. And, you know, you could hear today that we disagree on a lot of things, but it's always done respectfully. And for that, I'm always thankful. Yeah. Okay, it is time for Words to Live By. And as you heard from our friend Chris, and you know people in your own life, you know there are people who are struggling, even though things are starting to look up. Just remember to check in with those people. Check in with people you haven't heard from in a while. Because one word of encouragement can be enough to spark someone's motivation to continue with a difficult challenge. Let people know they are not alone. I want to thank all of you again for listening. Thank you, Felix, for filling in.
You bet. Always a pleasure to be with you and be on the radio with our fabulous listeners. And great letters today. Really funny letters today. I love funny letters. So
absolutely. Yes, for sure. And join us on our Facebook page, the G and Ursula Show Facebook page. We've got the best people on that Facebook community. You can have civil conversations. You can disagree and not worry about name calling. It's pretty darn awesome. Chef, thank you so much.
Go get that beer with the person that you pretended that you wanted to. You will enjoy it. We're all going to be able to do it soon.
Absolutely right.
Follow through with your commitments. Don't fall into the Seattle freeze trap.
Yes. And Tarek, thank you.
Yes.
You're doing a great job today.
Yeah, no problem. It's Tarek, but you know, it's...
Oh, stop it.
I appreciate it so much.
Tarek.
Real quick, though. Frank Shires, it's his last day at Cairo Radio. Shout out to him. He's a great guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, congrats on retirement, Frank.
Dory Monson Show is next. Stay with us.